In our study of Jeremiah, we are in chapter 23, which will be there in a second. Now, keep in mind that all humanity, starting with Adam and everyone else that was born, that has been brought, given birth on planet Earth, are all in trouble. They're born dead in sins, trespasses and sin. They are born alive, having existence, but they do not have life, a relationship to God. Sin costs that. So all humans live, exercise, breathe, and die. That's a historical record, and it's indisputable record. Now, that's a fact. Hang on to that. God demonstrated, especially his wonderful, purposeful person in saving Genesis 3, of saving people. And he did that by taking Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and giving Israel the opportunity and the privilege of knowing him at Mount Sinai, etc., etc. And Israel did not in the flesh, in the natural, which we're all born with in Adam, they all had the same thing everyone outside of Israel had, Syrians and the Phoenicians and Jebusites and all of them. They had the same thing, same persons, it's just the Jews had a privilege to exercise a relationship to God, which they failed to rightly do, to have the benefits as a nation. And therefore, Israel becomes a wonderful example historically, all through history, in demonstrating God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and that humans, if they don't look to God and don't turn to God, after all, he's the only creator. He created them. He died for them. And therefore, he looks and assumes that they would understand that they're obligated to him. And therefore, he gives Israel the opportunity to demonstrate that to the nations. They fail. In Jeremiah, illustrated, 10 tribes have already gone into a captivity over 100 years ago in the north, and the 2 tribes in the south are on the verge of disappearing from Jerusalem. Now, with that in mind, 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, how so? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God's word is a living entity. It's full of life. That's why the Lord will say in John 6, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. They're pregnant, full of life. No one else's words are, but his are. So therefore, that's how we get saved, by the word of God. Now, point, verse 24. For all, why do we need to get saved like that? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And so history, humans, nations, civilizations, cultures, people rise up. And they have their glory, and you have a life they live, and then it all, what? Disappears. And where do they go? Back to the dust of the ground. And there's no exception. No exceptions. They have it. I got life. No, you don't. You don't realize you're like a piece of grass, a flower, and it blooms for a little bit, and you say, yay! But wait a couple of minutes, and it fades, and the petals fall off, and it's all gone. Isn't that life? We're looking. I want you to, you got to see it as it is, or you'll miss out on what God's done. Now, therefore, having that understanding, and verse 25 to remind us again, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, chapter 2, verse 1, and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. Now, having said that, understanding that life and history and people rise, they grow, 10 years old, 20 years old, 40 years old, they grow up and they have it, but it's only like a piece of grass. It's only for a bit. So all the adventures and all the energies and all the desires are only for a moment if you stand back. And you say, I want to enjoy life while I can. Knowing what? Pretty soon you can't. Pretty soon you can't. That's life. Now, God, you said something. You're trying to help Israel. Israel's missing this. If anyone should know it, Israel does. Back over to Jeremiah and chapter 23. Now remember, all three kings, and I can't, someone said you got to repeat yourself. Well, I do sometime, and I do. Because I'm trusting, if I was trusting that you remember exactly where we left off 7 days ago, do you? In other words, if I start up like that, are you going to be able to connect it like this? Like this. That's how you connect each piece. That's how it stays with you. Otherwise, they're just pieces, like in a pile of the puzzle, and they disappear. They're easy. Matthew 13. And the devil comes along, your flesh comes along, and whoop, they're all gone. All gone. And 20 years later, you haven't moved. What happened? You didn't grow. Wow. Now, so, chapter 23. God, what are you dealing with? Well, the three kings, all kings have been, Jeremiah, God has put on notice that all the kings, Jehoiachin, C-H-I-N, is the, going to be the last king living in Babylon, and he is the last king of Israel. He's the last one. There is no more, we share together in chapter 22 and in verse 30. There is no more. No more kings. It's all over. And so now, having said that, if you were an Israelite, you're a Jew, it's all over. Not only are we dying and going to captivity, but it's all over. But it isn't. They're looking at the outward circumstances. They're looking around themselves in the mirror, et cetera, et cetera. And they aren't coming up with the right answer. God, you're going to help them. I am. Therefore, we read in chapter 23 that God has made it clear that the present system of kings, shepherds slash kings, rulers, the leaders, they are all condemned. And God does it. Each king, Jehoiakim, Jehoahaz, each one of them, Jehoiakim, each one of them are evil kings, all bad kings, all going downhill. And so it ends bad. And God says so, but God, is that the future? No, I want you to know that's what where it ends. It ends with Jehoiachin, and I'm doing no more. I warned you, I gave you plenty of space, and it's all over. Now, therefore, you then say, as we shared last time, verse 5, behold, the days, chapter 23, verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David, I'm going to cause to raise up unto David. For David. Why for David? God made a promise in 2 Samuel to David called the Davidic covenant. He made a commitment to David that his line would run all the way to the kingdom. He made a commitment. Now the people, his sons, and their sons didn't believe. All went downhill. Wow. It looks like the end. No, God said, listen, verse 5, I will raise up for David, unto David, for David, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, but I got to catch each thing because it gives you clarity on why you are saved. Now, a branch in verse 5. It's a right branch. All the branches coming out of David, like a tree, all of them have died. In fact, David will tell us in his own start in Psalm 51, In sin did my mother conceive me. And he trusted God. But the others didn't do it. They just didn't do it. Now, so therefore, God is going to raise up a right branch. Now, the word branch, the little word branch that you're looking at. Now, in doing that, you need to understand that little word that will help us. Now, so the word branch has to do with a growth, something directly looking at the ground, and the ground's there, and out of the ground comes a growth, comes a plant. Out of it, here's a tree, but the tree's grown and has all kinds of limbs and branches, but it's not talking about that. That's what people think when they read that. They think that. And if you do that, then all you have is trying to figure out how Jesus Christ could be born holy when he came from the line of David. Humans. So therefore, God, you aren't saying a twig. No, I'm not saying a branch of a tree. That does not mean that. That's important. And to see it, we did it a little last time. I'll do it a little differently this time. Over to Genesis. Remember, it has to do with a root forming in the ground, growing, making furrows in the ground, and you plant seeds, and the thing comes up. Now, over to Genesis, if I can. That's what I said. Genesis chapter 19. And Genesis 19, and you have, all we're doing is understanding a word. What does a word mean? And therefore, in chapter 19 of Genesis, picking up, please, in verse 25. Verse 25. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And there's your little word branch. Which grew upon the ground. Three words. One word, branch. That which grew upon the ground. So there's no way you're talking about a tree. You're not talking about that, because that'll never work. And most, if people believe that, they have a real mental problem of trying to equate that understanding with the holiness of God. And it won't work. If you really objectively do it, it won't work. But it isn't that. Over, if you would, please, while you have the Isaiah in chapter 1. Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And in Isaiah chapter 61, may I go directly to verse 11. 61:11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, do you see the word her bud? That's the word branch, which grew. bud. You look at the plants in the ground, you plant the seeds, and there's a bud coming up, a plant coming up out of the ground. Now, and therefore, I'll read the verse, verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Now, God, how are you going to do that? Well, he's the righteous branch, and that's what God is saying to Israel, and so they're in bad condition. They go going. Nebuchadnezzar's going to surely get them, but they needed to understand the remnant that's there. They aren't going to stop the bomb from exploding. Using that, he wants going to stop the bomb from exploding, but at least understand the plane. You're in the plane. Plane's going down. You can't stop the plane going down, but be of good cheer. That isn't the end. Now, here, and so if you did the same thing in Ezekiel, and we did that, and we did it last time, etc. So what do you have? You have a branch, something coming out of the ground. Now, over, if you would, please, to Genesis, while you weren't there. Might as well go there. Genesis chapter 3. We quote it all the time, a little bit. And you will note in chapter 3, Genesis and chapter 3. And you will pick up, please, the thought, if I may, in the light of that. Genesis chapter 3. And picking up in verse 15. Genesis 3 and 15. And I will put enmity, hostility, between thee and between the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise, or he shall bruise, thy head, and thou shall bruise. In other words, the devil's going to go and crucify Christ, his heel. God's going to clobber the head of Satan. Now, our arch enemy. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, therefore, what do you got? The seed of the woman. Now, what do we know? Well, we know this. In the process, if you look at the seed of the woman, Adam, and then you're told that verse 21 and 22, the seed of the woman, the mother, Eve is the mother of all living, etc. And you come to chapter 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, in her expectation of fulfilling Genesis 3:15, I have gotten a man from the Lord. This is him. Oh, no. No, it's not him. And everyone that comes out of Adam because of sin, everyone that comes out of Adam, what do we know? Well, we know from Genesis, without turning there, in Romans chapter 5, 12, in Adam all what? What it would be the word? In Adam all die. Every human in the line of Adam is dead, condemned. Now, and David's in that line. We're in that line, but David's in that line. So David, we can't get, the branch doesn't mean coming out of you. No, coming out of Adam. No, not coming out of Adam. No, not coming out of Adam. Well, where's it going to come from? It isn't a branch that breaks off and like you have children and the children break off branches. No, it isn't that. No, it can't come out of Adam. Adam is condemned. Now, in order to catch that, go back with me over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you would notice, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the resurrection of our bodies. And you'll notice, as you read, in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening, life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. It wasn't the last Adam that came out. No, it was the first Adam. That's the one that fell in the Garden of Eden. Howbeit, it was not the first Adam, first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, Adam in the flesh. And afterwards, then, that which is spiritual. So the last Adam comes, obviously, after the first Adam. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord of heaven, is the Lord from heaven. Therefore, the last Adam. There's no second Adam. There's no other Adams. There's one Adam, the seed of the woman. And that produced all of us, humans, dead in sin, and Israel demonstrating it. It won't work. You leave God out, it won't work. God, you before the foundation of the earth, et cetera, you determined to die on the cross. That's awesome. Now, so here we are. God, you made a promise. The seed of the woman, that's right. What do we know about a branch? He is the righteous branch. And he doesn't come, he comes up not from something here, he comes up. So how does he come up? A whole new plant, a new root, all new. Therefore, what do we know? You know historically. Here's the line of David, all the way down the line, and when we shared all these things, so when you come down the line, and there's Solomon, his son, and his son ends up with Jehoiachin, and the end of the kings. And then we go to Nathan over next door, the son of David. And Nathan isn't there. Nathan isn't a king, nope. He just is of the line of David. And he's going to go right down to Mary. Solomon, Jehoiachin, Joseph, Nathan, all the way down to Mary, the seed of the woman. Now, I'm going to eliminate, said God, Adam. And the new Adam, the last Adam, is my son. And he will be born of a woman. The woman is Eve, led the way, and Mary, a woman, coming down the corridor of time, and I'm going to go, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And that dear little young girl is going to go and be born, conceived with a seed, and God is going to bring forth by the Holy Ghost, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Totally disconnected from everyone, everywhere. Do you understand that? Totally disconnected. In no way. He's out here. He's the sinless Son of God out here. Wow. That's awesome. And I need to know that because I won't reap the benefits personally of what that it translates into. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember now all the king it isn't going to come out, but God has made a promise, chapter 23, the book of Jeremiah, the branch, the righteous branch is going to be born, and that righteous branch is going to go, and he's the one that's going to make it work. Anyone out of David? No, but a branch. A branch, someone that came. David, are you in the line of Adam? Absolutely. And is Solomon and Nathan in the line of Adam? Absolutely. But my son is in my line, said God. The Lord Jesus said, I came from above to do the Father's will. I finished it and went back home. I was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Disconnected totally from all human sin. I'm the last Adam. I'm the one that's going to do what no one else can do because of the sin of Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all, we sin. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking. And God, you're going to go and you do a wonderful thing. I do, I do. Now, Israel, are you going to understand God's wonderful work? Back over, if you would, to Jeremiah. And chapter 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, may I pick up in verse 5? Again. And in verse 5 again, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up, cause to make, I'll make it happen, verb, saith the Lord, I'll make it happen for David, I'm going to fulfill for David, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, that's what I'm, now, did David do that? He did. You got to hang on to this now. David did that. Did the other kings do that? No. David looked to God. They did not. Remember, we looked and studied in our thinking and all of this context and everything. God said, and the Israel did never did turn to God, not then. The sure, Isaiah 55, the sure mercies of David. But they never did that. The wonderful faith of Abraham, all they had to do was believe. But they didn't do that either. They just didn't do it. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. So now, so God, here, the king, remember, David, God promised David there would be a king in the line of David. Mary, Nathan, David. In the line of David. Going to be. He's the king of all kings. And he's a king. So he's saying, promising it. He just told them there's going to be no king. And he just said, but there will be a king. None of you will be able to be king. You don't qualify. But my son does, and he qualifies. He's the last Adam, totally disconnected from Adam's sin and all the repercussions therein. Now, so having said that, he's going to go and he's going to go and reign and prosper. Now, hang on to that just for a sec. Over, if you would, to Joshua. Joshua in chapter 1, and I want you to just think for a second. God blessed Joshua. God blessed the people. In that day, there was no king. No king. God was king. And God blessed them. And they went across the Jordan and all of that, and we shared together when we did that in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only that be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. That's my word. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Stay on course. Don't deviate. Don't get sidetracked. Don't listen to the wrong things in the wrong way. You'll come up with the wrong answers. Stay on target. And don't go to the left or right. You're looking at God's word in front of you, I hope. And in the process, why? Why am I looking at God's word? Because I don't want to look elsewhere because I want to know what it says. That purpose, verse 7, that thou mayest prosper wherever, whithsoever thou goest. That you're going to be able to prosper, to be able to have good success. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful success. That's what you're going to have. And you're going to have that success in an awesome way. All you got to do is keep looking to my word. Now, because David, how did you go and practice justice and judgment and righteousness? But did you do it? Were you some smart guy? No. I honored God's word. I looked to David. David said, I looked to God, and that's how I governed. Where did you get the information? Who were you honoring? Where's your authority? It's in God. Joshua, where's your authority going to be? In God, in His Word. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. And it will be wonderfully well with you, very successful, prosper. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. That doesn't give any break. That reason thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, the statutes, the judgments. And at least you're going to look to me, God, to make it happen. To all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That isn't the word now. And thou shalt have good success. And remember now what we did, Joshua. When you go from verse 8, thou mayest prosper, and you slide down to from verse 7, prosper, slide down to verse 8, have good success. That's the same verb to say it. Prosper, good success. Or David's going to say, we'll go over there, why not? Over to David, if you would, 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 18, and picking up the thought, chapter 18, and you'll see it. And in picking up in verse 5, 18:5 directly, just want you to get David. David, why was David blessed? He isn't a genius. He just took God at His word. And that's why God said, your father did justice and judgment. How could he do it? He trusted God. That's why he could do it. How did you other kings? You didn't trust God. No, you didn't. From Jehoahaz and down to Zedekiah. Nope. Therefore, verse 5, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Do you see that verb? Be wisely. That's the same as prosper, good success. It's the same word. Now, what did you do, David? What did you say to Joshua? Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, meditate day and night, stay on course. And it works. And it worked for Joshua, and it worked for David. But his sons just didn't do that. Now, therefore, I'll read the finish that. Saul set over him the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Sliding over verse 14, you'll pick it up again. David behaved himself wisely. He paid attention to what God said. Don't go to the left or right. Honor my word. In all my ways, David behaved himself wisely, underline, in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Sliding down, I'll get the context, verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, there's your again word, he was afraid of him, Saul, King Saul was. In verse 16, and all Israel and Judah took note, they loved David to a point, because, why? Because when he went out, and when he came in before the Lord, and you remember Deuteronomy 28, I'll bless you when you go out. I'll bless you when you come in. I'll bless you wherever you go. What do we read in Joshua 1? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. And whether you go, wheresoever you go, I'll go. And that's how it worked. Just like that. Uh-huh. Now, God, now what was David doing? David was trusting not the flesh. He wasn't, no flesh shall glory in his presence. He wasn't trusting that. He was trusting God. That's the only way to do it. There's no other way to do it. It isn't your opinion or mine or anything else. You know, whatever, all of that is not going to go. All of it's wonderful when you want to interact and have some advantage. But with God, has no advantage. Nope. The only advantage you have is with His Word. And you honor it. What are you doing when you... We already did this in John 14. When you honor His Word, you honor Him. And that's what he wants. What do you mean, honor him? / That's when you love me. When you honor my word is when you love me. And when you love me, John 14, I will love you. Not only will I love you, my Father will love you. Huh? My Father will love you. Wow. God said, that's how it works. Now, that's how you did it, David. That's right. But the other guys, the others, your sons, grandsons and all of it, coming down, they didn't. No, they didn't. They did evil. They didn't honor you. If they don't honor you, there's nowhere to go. So the prospering. So David, and without taking, well, go over with me to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 9. And 1 Kings chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 2. And the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appointed unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said, verse 3, unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have allowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually in this the temple. Verse 4. And if thou walk, if you will, Solomon, if you will walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments. There you are. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of David. But if you shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed, that's the temple, for my name, will I cast out of my sight. That's why Nebuchadnezzar is given privilege of leveling it. Will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people, which is where it is today. Verse 8, And at this house, which is high, every one that passeth by, looking at where the Jews used to be and where they should be, and we shared all of these things together, that the world understands it isn't something, no, it's God's judging them. They know that. At this point, which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and shall say, why hath the Lord, done thus, unto this land and to this house? And they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought forth upon them all this evil. And that's why they got them. Now, so God, here we are looking, and Israel, Solomon, that's why he turned his, he didn't have a heart like David. And he turned, and you know, from first Kings and 11 and that, he turned away from God. And his son, Rehoboam, the whole thing snowballed like everything does. And in the process, you have the where we are in Jeremiah, and the Nebuchadnezzar is about to go and level the city. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, over to Jeremiah, picking up the thought if I can. In Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And in, if I can, verse 22, to pick it up. We're looking at God. He's the righteous one. He's the righteous branch. And David did right The kings that followed him apart from Josiah did not. Therefore, verse 23, chapter 9, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let the man or woman, boy or girl, look to me. I am the right one. I make things right. David, did you do that? I sure did. He sure did. Did any of you other guys? No, you didn't do that. No. But God, you made a wonderful, wonderful commitment. And you wanted him to what? To know him and do things? No, I wanted him to know me. So the real issue is to know him. How can we possibly know him? Because he brings to the human heart what? A rightness. Not in the line of Adam, because that brings what to us? Sin, sorrow, suffering. Doesn't it? It's all human history. That's what we are. We all got it. I say, no, you don't. Hang on. It'll come. It'll come. Wow. No, it's not in the line of Adam. It's in the line of the last Adam. That's where God has blessed you. And when you receive the Lord as your Savior, that's why God says, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because I rejected all that. And I've given you a whole new relationship to my Son, who's the last Adam, and he's given you a rightness. He is the rightness. How could you possibly try to do everything? You're living in a world that isn't right, aren't you? With everything, all of us, our nature, our attitudes, our thinking, boy, that get if we had to pull out of them that which is heavenly or holy, I don't know how much you'd have at the end of the day. But God, we aren't trusting that. That's how you live, so you can enjoy life a little better. It isn't you when people are going to disappoint. People are people. Humans are human. Humans, what do you want? They're humans. So when they disappoint you, why are you disappointed? Because you thought they weren't humans. You thought they weren't human. No, they are humans. The people you work with, the people that teach you in school, the family, friends, everyone, they're humans. That's what they are. And they're going to be what? Humans. And apart from God's grace, they're humans. So I'm disappointed, discouraged. Well, that's human words because we're looking. We're looking and assuming that such and such can do such and such and be such and such. And why do they disappoint? Well, that's our human nature. We're like the grass. And we look good for a bit, but then we fall down. And we get discouraged because we're looking at humans. How are we going to make it? We look to God. That's what God's telling him in Jeremiah 23. Do you understand? The way it's going to work is that I'm going to do it, said God, and that's how it's going to come out. And it's going to come out wonderful when I do it. Now, so therefore God, and you have to understand, well, we'll have to do it because I got to quit, but over to Hebrews. Over to Hebrews chapter 4 again, of all different places. And in chapter 4, you would recall in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Now, what does that do? God, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and he went from here in his perfect resurrected body to the right hand of the Father. Now, What's that going to do? Well, God's going to... Here's all the angels. Think of, you have to understand the atmosphere. Here's all the angels. A zillion of angels. And here's the bad guys and the good guys. They're all there, all around. Now, and God's doing... Think of it, Revelation 12. Our arch enemy, the devil, accuses the brethren day and night, picks off their mischief, their all the different things they do and say, you know. And God. So, therefore, God, here we are. Now, and the Lord Jesus Christ covers us. How is that? Because, you see, you aren't, he isn't trusting. He's already crucified. When you get saved, all everyone knows, and I was learning, that he terminated Adam and everything in Adam, the sin in Adam, the sorrow in Adam, the suffering in Adam, the whole ball of wax. He condemned it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the seed of the woman, came forth. And he's seated up there. And he's seated there. He's the great high priest for us. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. And then you have the words, yet with what? Without sin. That's right. He's the sinless Son of God. That's what he is. And he's seated there. Seated. The sinless Son of God is seated there in his awesome, wonderful person. And there he is. And does he know about human? Absolutely. He became one by way of the Virgin Mary, etc. And the seed and the Spirit of God, and he became the last Adam. And he had to go through everything. The devil tempted him 40 days and nights and all of those things and the crucifixion. Wow. Does he know about everything? Absolutely, God said. Do I understand about humans? I do. I died for them. Now, therefore, if you have that little bit of flavor, have that. God, how on earth am I little life up and down? I don't trust your thoughts. Crucify them. Trust your feelings. Crucify them. You got, don't. They say, well, boy, I want to have, no, you don't. You want to possess the wonderfulness of being saved. And you can't possess the wonderfulness of being saved if you're trying to be saved. You can enjoy the wonderfulness of being saved because you, what? Are saved. Do you understand? Either you're saved or you're not. And if you're saved, you need to understand that's finished. And so God, what are we doing? Here's the Father, and here's the Son, here's the Spirit of God, all of it, right? We're in his presence. God, wow. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to let you know, when you come, verse 16, you come to the throne of grace boldly, without fear, frankness, fullness, come to God, unto the throne of grace. What for? That we may obtain mercy, receive mercy, and find and discover grace to help in time of need. So God, are we going to get sweat about? No, because, think of 1 John 1:2, 1 and 2, that he is the propitiation for our sin and all that you and I are wrong with. He is right for you. He's the right one. And God has provided you with his rightness. And that's where your rightness is. I've said it 1,000 times, but you've got to begin to get it. That's where your rightness is. And that's why you can live with yourself and your sin and all the dumb stuff about us. Because God has sees you in Christ, and he provides you. You are not trusting yourself. You're trusting in, I can't even turn there. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 29. No flesh shall what? Glory in his presence. Next statement. God hath made him, Christ, righteousness to you. Therefore, if you want to talk about it, glory not in yourself, no flesh shall glory in his presence. If you're going to glory in anybody, verse 31, glory in my Son, his righteousness. He is everything to you because he's separated totally from all Adam and humans in every way, shape, and form. He's without sin, the perfect Savior. Wow. And we have that. I don't know. There's nothing to do with us. And when people try to tell, well, what? Because what about promises? You know how humans are with promises and people and things. No, we aren't. I don't care about humans, and neither do you. It isn't about humans. It's about you, God. And I don't trust my own humanity, and I don't trust your humanity. No offense. No, wouldn't do it. Wouldn't trust it. Mm-hmm. No, we can be not what we should be. No. We don't want to be dividing mischief. God hates that. It's an abomination. Sowing discord. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. No, abomination to God. So, God help us. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome, wonderful thing to be saved. I think, in my little head, I think the more you understand it, the more you need to have an intellectual, academic, biblical IQ. Biblical IQ. So you can enjoy what God has done for you. Otherwise, you're trying to enjoy it. He's been born of Bethlehem of Judea. How could that be? And they have to debate. And how could he really be God? He can't really be God. But he is. But you have to understand why. He isn't in the line. So we're trying to relate him to the humans. He was born a human. Yes, he is. But he's totally different. He's the branch. That's a name for him. He is the righteous branch. Wow.